This Shabbos is Parshas Shmini. Parshas Shmini, what? Parshas Shmini, and it's a double header. It's also Parshas Parah. Why do we lay in Parshas Parah? Chazal tell us that when we approach the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, before this year Rosh Chodesh Nisan is on, it's a unique this year. This year Rosh Chodesh Nisan is on Shabbos. Next week is a triple header, right?
Why
is
it on here?
Next week is a triple header. So this week is Parshas. So the Shabbos before either Rosh Chodesh or Shabbos Shachal Yis Bersh or Rosh Chodesh Shachal Yis B'Shabbos is Parshas Parah. Why do we lead Parshas Parah? When there was the Beis Hamikdash, we bring the Korban Pesach. And to bring the Korban Pesach, a person must be in a state of Tahara. And the laws of Tahara are complex. Not every person was familiar with the severity of the laws of Tumah V'Tahara. And being that this is a Korban, which is an absolute requirement, the Korban Pesach is the most critical Korban in from all of the Korbanos. There is no Korban that is more critical for every individual than the Korban Pesach. A Korban Chatos is only if you do an Aveira. Stay out of trouble, you don't need to bring a Korban Chatos. So interesting, it's not so simple to bring a Korban Chatos. We think, oh, it's a big deal. You know, every so often you make a mistake. Everyone makes mistakes, right? You make a mistake, so you bring a Korban Chatos. Not so fast. Most of the mistakes that you make in life are so out of your control, you're not obligated to bring a Korban Chatos. And then there are some mistakes you make are not really mistakes. They're not eligible for a Korban Chatos. It's a shayg karv lemezit. So it's a very fine line between a situation where you're not amazed, but you're not. It's not an accident. You classify to be in the category of a shoygeg. I think we'd be very surprised when we really define. He would not have done it.
He wouldn't have done it.
Sometimes, yeah, I know, I'll still do it.
No, that's what Gemara says. That's Gemara Hari is the whole Masechta.
It's very complex. When exactly are you obligated? We throw around the term shoygeg. It was an accident. What exactly is the definition of an accident in regard to the bringing of a Korban Chatas? Not so simple at all. In any event, the Korban that is the most significant beyond question is the Korban Pesach. Every single member in Klal Yisrael has an obligation to participate in a Korban Pesach. And if one does not do so, he is Chayiv Kores. Okay, there is no Korban in the world that a person can be Chayiv Kores for not doing or for doing. It doesn't exist such a thing. Therefore, it is extremely significant, and to come into the Beis Hamikdash, a person has to be certain that he is tahor from any type of contamination, especially tumas meis, and that is why the Chazal have obligated us to read the parash of Parah Aduma, which teaches us how a person goes about in purifying himself from tumas meis, from spiritual contamination, to prepare ourselves for Pesach, which we bring when we need to be in the state of Tahara to bring the Korban Pesach. Some learn that Parashas Parah is a Deoraisa, Machloikis Rishonim. If Parashas Parah is Deoraisa or Derabanan, Halacha L'maisa, we paskin that it can be Mekel, it's Derabanan, and you don't have to go to the extreme Chumrois that people go to with regard to Parashas Zohar. Noshim, you don't find people making a special minion for laning Parashas Parah for Noshim. Why not? First of all, we seem to assume that it's only midrabanan; it's not deraisa, so the obligation is not as severe. Another more basic reason is because the parah aduma comes to mechaper for the chet ha'egel. The noshim did not originally participate in the chet ha'egel; they refused to give their jewelry for the egel hazav. So, since they refused to participate, they have no obligation to go the extra mile in coming to hear the laning, the reading of Parah Aduma, when it's not really their problem. They're not the ones who brought about the need for the Parah Aduma, which is mechaber for the Chei to Egel. Okay, that's just basic, the status of Parah Aduma. Now, we do lane this Shabbos two Parshios, Parshas Shmini, and Parshas Parah Aduma. What's very interesting is that in this week's Parsha is the Ikur Makar for going to a mikvah. The psukim that teach us the laws of mikvah are all found in this week's parasha. A lot of the laws of mikvah are halacha l'moshe misinai, but the roots of what needs to be done, the laws of a mayon, a mikveh mayim, and all of the related ideas are found here in this week's parasha. Haloi davar, is it not something very interesting that we have here in this pasuk the laws of mikvah and the laws of parah aduma, the two different ingredients that are necessary for a person to achieve the totality of tahara. Before you have the water of the parah aduma sprinkled upon you, you first have to go to mikvah. And after the water is sprinkled upon you, go to mikvah again. The part of the parah aduma process also involves going to mikvah. So isn't it interesting that here we have in one parasha, in one week, parasha shmini, both elements of tahara come together. The laws of immersing one's body in a mikveh mayim, or in a mayon, each one has its unique halachos, and then the other element that is necessary for tahara, are that the water from the paraduma, the water that has been mixed with the ash of the paraduma, has to be sprinkled upon the person on day 3 and day 7 of the 7-day waiting period to prepare himself for his ultimate tahara. And there's a very big difference between the two. First, to point out, when a person goes into mikvah, what do? Your entire body, from top to bottom, must be fully immersed in the mikvah. Fully immersed in the mikvah with no chatzitza whatsoever. The laws of chatzitza are very severe. Nashim who go to mikvah are very makrim. It's a very difficult halacha to go to mikvah 100% to make sure there's nothing on the body that is a chatzitza, not even a knot and a hair can serve as a chatzitza. The full body, that hair did not have a full immersion because there was a knot in the hair. The full body, b'li yoytzei min haklal, must be fully immersed in the waters of the mikvah. When it comes to paraduma, how much water does the kohen sprinkle upon the person for him to achieve tahara? A teeny, teeny mashahu. How can we go from one extreme to another extreme? Two different types of water participating, coming together to be metahara the person. In the parasha, we learn about mikvah. You got to go in, all the way in. 100%, no ands, if, or buts. Every mashu must be immersed. Paraduma, just a teeny, the kohen that sprinkles the paraduma water, just a teeny mashu is enough, and the person becomes tahar together with mikvah. Why is that so? We have two different types of tahara. One is immersion, and one is just a teeny mashu. I think the answer is very simple. This week's parasha, where the parasha of mikvah appears, is the inauguration of the base of the Mishkan. Vayehi bayom hashmini is the 8th day of the Miluim, and finally the day has come when Hashem is going to descend from Shemayim to rest His divine presence in this world permanently. The base Hamikdash, the building of the Mishkan, Chazal tell us, was a kapara for the Egel. Klal Yisrael worship the Egel in Mugdam Uchabatar, even though Parshas Truma and Tetzaveh appear before Parshas Kisisa. The Parshas Kisisa is where we find Klal Yisrael worshipping the Egel, and that took place after Truma and Tetzaveh. Rashi tells us in the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, in Mugdam Umeuchar Batorah, the Egel took place first. When Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel to Hashem to the Klal Yisrael should be forgiven, part of the process of them being forgiven is to build a Mishkan. The Mishkan is the structure which prevents us to a certain degree of being nichshol again in worshipping an idol. We have a place to worship Hashem, and the coming together, the unity in Klal Yisrael to serve Hashem is an insurance that this terrible thing should never happen again. Okay, this is a very big topic of discussing how the Mishkan is an atonement for the Chet to Egel, but across the board, everyone agrees it is. And Rashi really says it in the very beginning of the parasha, because the first carbon that was offered to inaugurate the Mishkan was in Egel. That's the very beginning of this week's parasha. We begin Vayhi b'yom hashmini, Aaron kach l'cha. It's now day 8. It is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. They put the sign on the door, open for business. Welcome, come in. And what is the inaugural karbon? Kach lecha egel ben bakar lechatas. Rashi, lehoidia shemichaper loy hakadosh baruch hu al yidei egel ze al maisecho egel she'osa that Aaron made for Klal Yisrael. If the inaugural carbon is to be mechaber for the egel, doesn't that shed light that the whole Mishkan, in essence, was to be mechaber for the chei to egel? The most important thing about coming into the Beis HaMikdash is to enter in a state of tahara. All the most significant korbanos that are offered are all because of tumas mikdash v'kodoshav. Every Rosh Chodesh, a soir is offered l'chatos, just in case something happened in this makom, in a carbon was offered and the carbon was tamei, the meat became tamei, or a kohen who did the avoda was tamei. On Yom HaKippurim, when they sprinkle the blood, lefnai v'lefnim, what is that blood coming to the mechaber? Tumas mikdash v'kadoshav. Maybe someone, a kohen was tamei, maybe a carbon was put on the mizbeach in a state of tuma. What about avodah zarah, gilui arayos, shvichas damim, lashon hara, talking during davening, tznius, and all internet? Where is the kapar for the internet? All the whole FJJ, where does that come in? How come that's not important? That's the Sur LaZazel. It doesn't even rate. The kapara for those type of sins doesn't even rate it even to come into the Beis HaMikdash. They throw it off a cliff. Tumas, Mikdash v'kadoshav, Tumah v'tahara is so significant, it goes lefnai v'lefnim. So we see that tahara is an essential element of this mokoim, this mokoim, which in essence is a mokoim which is mechaper on the chet ha'egel. A critical element of kapara for chet ha'egel is tahara, is to be in a state of purity. What else is mechaper on the chet ha'egel? The para aduma, the maftir. We learn this Shabbos from a separate Sefer Torah, Parshas Chukas, the parsha of Paraduma. What is Paraduma? What does Rashi say? Let the mother and clean up after her child. A para is an adult cow. The egel we worshipped is a baby. So we bring a para aduma. Tumah v'tahara is coming to be mechaber. The whole process that there has to be tahara in Klal Yisrael. And the way it's going to be done is through taking this perfectly red cow, that never went to work, and burning it, and using its ash with special water, and sprinkling this upon the person who's tamei to be tahara. That is all part of the process of atoning for the chet of avodah zarah, worshipping the egel. So look at this. Haloi davar. We have here two different items that are mechaper on the chet ha'egel. The building of the Mishkan and the Para Aduma. Before you come into the Mishkan, you have to go to mikvah. Person has to be in a state of tahara. How do you go to mikvah? In the Kohen Gadol, when he did the Avodah in Yom HaKippurim, what did they do? What did he do five times? Five times! Before every single Avodah, he immersed his entire body in the mikvah. Everything about the Beis HaMikdash is about tahara, but primarily the tahara of mikvah, which also is in this week's parasha. Immersion in the mikvah. What does the para aduma, which also is mechaper for the chet of egel, is also tahara, but there you just apply a teeny little mashahu, a teeny little mashahu of water, you sprinkle upon it, upon a person, then he's done. So I want to suggest that it's totally zeh b'zeh. There's a basic principle called sur meira va'asei toif. When a person wants to come close to Hashem, it's a two-step process. Number one, you have to give up things in life. There are things in life that are ra, we know are not good for us. There are things that we're addicted to. There are influences that are not good for us. There are activities that are not proper. These things are preventing us from coming close to Hashem. Sur meira. And then there's something called asei toiv. Just because if you put yourself in a, you lock yourself up and you put yourself up in a ghetto, in a vacuum, and there are no evil influences, but there is still, it's not enough. You have to apply yourself and move forward. Now look at it like this. The Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, is this in the category of Sur Meira or in the category of Aseh Tov? There is no doubt, there is no question. The Mishkan is a fulfillment of Aseh Tov. When you come to the Mishkan, you're coming in the presence of the Shechina. You're coming in the presence of Tzadikim, Kohanim, who spend their time immersed in spiritual matters. You're entering a world of spirituality. You are immersing yourself in a world of spirituality. Paraduma. What do you do to Paraduma? You take the mother and you burn her. You completely obliterate this source of the egel. The egel was an item, an object that was worshipped. Okay, it's an idol. Everything has a source. What's the source of this egel? Where'd it come from? The mother. A mother. The mother. Chazal tell us that to talk about the Kohanim Gedolim, there was a series of Kohanim Gedolim, a whole family of Kohanim Gedolim, and they asked the mother, what's your zechus that all of your children are Kohanim Gedolim? The fact they went to the mother to ask her what is her zechus is a clear indication. The only reason why this fellow is a Kohen Gadol is because of his mother. His mother raised him. His mother made sure that he had a chinuch that he would become a Kohen Gadol. When the Kohen Gadol, when someone was killed, Meshoigig, and was in Ari Miklat, who's the one that went and gave out food packages to the people? The mother, not the wife. How come the Kohen Gadol's wife is not running to the Ari Miklat and giving out food packages? Right? May I have a good question? Why? Their husband can die any moment. They're saying to Hillel and Ari Miklat, what? They're saying to Hillel and Ari Miklat, the Kohen Gadol should die so we can get out of here. And who's coming to rescue her? Who rescue? The mother. How come the wife doesn't come with food packages and say, don't pray that my husband should die? I don't want to be an almana. How come she doesn't come daven? Only the mother comes to daven? The answer is, the mother blames herself. Why? She says, it's only because of me that he's a Kohen Gadol, not the wife. And if I was a better mother, this never would have happened that he would have been in this situation. And it's true. The mother is the source of the success of her child to a very large degree. Not totally, of course. The wife also is a very big part. But it's clear as day. And when there's a failure, who blames herself? The mother, to some degree. Here we have an object of idolatry. An egel hazav. Who do we blame? The mother. Chazal, there's many Mamar Chazal discuss this. The curse should be the womb with Esav. When Esav talks about even sorry, it talks about when Rivka died, right? Rivka died. Doesn't talk about it. She died quietly. Why? Because people didn't want to say cursed by the Hespedim will be. They'll get it by the Leviah and say, cursed is this woman. Look what came from her. Look what came from Esav, Harasha. There's a Rotseach. What? That's because Rashi says that. Rashi says that.
No, because Yaakov wasn't around, so there was nobody there.
Esav was already was a horror in the world. He was a cursed person in this world. So they'll get up by the Leviah and say, this woman is accursed. Look what she produced. She produced this madman, Esav, that has brought upon this world a curse. So that's why Hashem decided that she should die quietly, privately. There should be no hesvedim, because we don't want people to come and say the wrong thing You see over and over in Chazal, we go and we trace a person's success and a person's failures to his mother. Egel is an idol of worship. Who are we coming to blame? The Shoresh, the Egel, the mother. The mother is the para. What do we do to it? We obliterate it. What do? We take this ash, we turn it into ash, we mix it with water, and we use that as a source to be mitayar by destroying it. It's a very essential process of the destruction. Think about what you're doing. When a person is now coming to achieve Tahara, let me explain. There are two parts of Tahara. There's Sur Meira, Asei Toif. When they sprinkle upon the person the water of Paraduma, what are you reminding yourself of? What's mixed into this water? The ash of the para. The ash of the object, which is the source of the curse that we got ourselves into by worshipping that idol. We are reminding ourselves, Sor Meira. What else do we do? We go to mikvah. Mikvah, we go to the Beis HaMikdash. Now here's the difference. What was our original question? Why is it there are two components of Tahara? There's the component of mikvah, which is full immersion. No chatzitza, it's not even a here can be nodded. And then there's part B of Tahara, the other element of Tahara, para aduma. How much water do you sprinkle upon a person? A mashu shebe mashu. How can we go from one extreme to the other? The answer is, look at the parasha. There are two different items which are mechaper for the egel. There is the building of the Mishkan, and there is the burning of the Parah Adumah. The Mishkan is a place that you have to fully immerse yourself. You have to enter with your body. You have to fully embrace the Kedusha. Asei Tov demands... Asei Tov demands full immersion. And that's why the mikvah, which represents the Mishkan element of Tahara, of Kapara, of Tahara, demands full immersion with no ands, if, or buts. And the water has to be the best water. Mikveh Mayim, connect to a source, or Mayim, whatever it is. No ands, you have to fully immerse yourself in spirituality. When it comes to Sur Meira, the Torah is teaching us an incredible Musar Haskel. Don't go to extremes. Don't become an extremist. The only amount of water you need to put on your body to represent the principle of Sur Meira is a teeny bit of ash and a teeny bit of water. It's an amazing kid, because you would say just the opposite. Right? Today you tell a kid, someone who's addicted to doing things that are no good, we're gonna lock you up. We're gonna take away from you your computer, your credit cards, cold turkey. We're gonna totally isolate you, and we're gonna send in someone to learn with you 5 minutes a day. You can't learn too much. You're making him sugar, so we'll learn you 5 minutes a day. You learn a little this, a little that. But the main thing is to cut you off from your evil ways. The Torah says just the opposite. The technique is, you have to have both. Person who is mired in the mud, he's stuck in the mud, and you want to be metahara yourself. There are two forms of tahara, and you need them both. There is mikvah and paraduma. They're both coming to achieve the same thing. They're both coming to bring tahara. They're both mechaper on the same chait, the chait ha'egel. They're both exactly the same thing. Mikvah is necessary to come into the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen Gadol had to immerse himself 5 times under the service in the Beis HaMikdash between everything that he does. But there's a very big difference. When it comes to Asei Tov, immerse yourself fully. Even if at the same time, You're doing averus. I'm going to do everything I can possibly do to be a better person. Oh, but I'm doing averus at the same time. It's a big problem. It really is a big problem. You have to stop. You have to stop. Sur meira. But the amount, the degree that is required of you of sur meira is minor relative to the degree of the demand we make upon you of asei toiv. Both items are absolutely necessary. There must be sur meira, there must be asei toiv. But the balance is not equal. The degree of asei toiv has to be much, much more than the effort and the gear that you put into sur meira. A little bit of sur meira is good.
Those are the words. Sur meira, just a little bit off.
Sur, very good.
Excellent.
Those are fantastic. Exactly sur just means a little bit. Excellent.
That's
turn aside a little bit. Oh, but I'm still doing averos. Over time, it will dissipate the averos. You have to do a little bit. You're addicted? All right. You're addicted. People who are addicted, you know, they give them drugs also. They take them to hostels and they wean them off. People who are addicted, they serve them. They serve them what they need until they can wean them off slowly. You can't just stop cold turkey. Sur meira. And you see that clearly from this week's parasha, the contrast between mikvah, full immersion, and paraduma, vizorakti aleichem mayim tahirim, just a shtickle, just a little bit. A little bit. What's in that little bit of water? Some ash. What ash? The ash is the makor of chait. The para, the mother of that egel. The egel represents sin in its purest form. The chait to egel. The sin of Klal Yisrael. Where does that sin come from? It doesn't come in a vacuum. It comes from somewhere. It comes from a makar. You have to take the source of where that sin comes from. You have to destroy it. But just a little at a time. Don't overdo it. Just a mashahu. Work and you do that. And then you immerse yourself in a mikveh entirely. And you come in to the Beis HaMikdash fully immersed in the Beis HaMikdash. You enter, you're good to go. The balance is not 50-50. It's much, much more asei tov than there is sur meira. Okay, let's go to another idea. On the person's head, or any body, truth is any part of his body. I think it's on his head. Just a teeny mashu is sufficient. Okay, let's jump ahead a little bit. Maybe we'll come back. Let's jump ahead to the middle of the Torah. Okay, listen, these are short little ideas. This week's parasha we learn about the Eis Ir HaChatas Dorosh Dorash Moshe Vihine Sorof. It says in the parasha that on this day there were three chatois offered on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. There was the chatos of Nachshon ben Aminadav. Each one of the shvatim brought an inaugural korban, the korbanos of the Nisim. And the first day was Nachshon ben Aminadav Lamate Yehuda. He brought a korban chatos, a seer chatos. It was also Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Rosh Chodesh. Correct? So you bring carbon chatas. And what was the third carbon chatas? It was a special one event once in existence. One time event to inaugurate the Mishkan. A sohir was brought as an inaugural carbon. What are you supposed to do with a carbon chatas? It is meant to be eaten by the Kohanim. You only burn the Mizbeach, select fats and parts, and everything else of the carbon chatos is to be eaten by the Kohanim. What happened? Moshe makes an inspection. He is the supervisor on this day, and he discovers that only one of these three korbanos were eaten. The korban that was the inaugural chatos for the Mishkan was consumed by the Kohanim, by Aaron, but the other two chatois of Rosh Chodesh and of Nachshon ben Aminadav, it was burnt. So Moshe Rabbeinu was angry. It says that he was upset. He was angry. Why did this happen? Let me read you the exact words of Rashi because they're very, very precise, and I want to bring out a point, a very simple point. Nothing very major. Okay, the ace, it's the beginning of Chamisha, the ace, Yachatas, Dorosh, Dorash, Moshe, Vihine, Soy, Rof. Rashi. Pasuk Tes Vav. It's Perek Yud, Pasuk Tes Vav. Pasuk says, Seir HaChatos. No, it's Pasuk Tes Zayin. Sorry, Pasuk Tes Zayin. Seire Musvei Rosh Chodesh, Ushloisha Seir HaChatos, Karvu Babayoyim, Kichu Seir Izim, Useir Nachshain, Useir Rosh Chodesh, Umikulon, Loi Nisraf Elazeh. Only one was burnt. I'm sorry, one was burnt. I made a mistake. I told you two, but one was burnt. Which one was burnt? Rosh Chodesh. The Rosh Chodesh Sawyer was burnt. Nachshon Sawyer was not burnt. And the inaugural carbon for the Mishkan was not burnt. But the Sawyer that is offered on Rosh Chodesh was burnt. V'nechluku badavar. And there's a disagreement on the so why it was burnt. Yeshram some said Bibne Atoma because it became Tame. It was an accident. It became Tame. Shinagaboy Nisraf. Yeshram Bibne Aninos Nisraf. Because Aaron and his children were Oininim, who died on this day. Tragically, Nadav Vavihu. They brought into the Mikdash. They many reasons. They were Shasuya Yayin. They were intoxicated. They drank a revius of yayin before entering into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Lefishu Kodshe. Now, so therefore, why does that mean it should be burnt? Lefishu Hayu Kodshe Doiroitz, Alba Kodshe Shah, Samchu Alma Almoyesh Hashama Lochem B'mincha V'achlu Matzes. Because he goes on to explain the reason why they burnt the carbon Rosh Chodesh is because they're Oininim, and Oinin is not allowed to eat Kadoshim. No exception, especially when it comes to a carbon of Rosh Chodesh. We'll do it again next month. So it's no big deal if we burn it this month. There'll be another opportunity to eat from the carbon chatos of Rosh Chodesh next month, and then the next month, and the next month. Whereas the chatos, the sohir of Nachshon ben Aminadav, and the chatos that inaugurates the Mishkan is a one-time event that will never, ever repeat itself. And therefore, even though the Kohanim, Elazar, Visamar, and Aaron were oininim, they were in a state of mourning, this is an exception. Okay, fine. Now, here's the point I want to make. Next Rashi. Rashi says, Doroish Dorash, Shtei Derishois Mibnei Ma Nisraf Zeh U'Mibnei Ma Nechlu Eilim. Moshe was perplexed. He was perplexed at the behavior of the Kohanim. Why did you eat this and did you not eat this? Moshe was disturbed by human behavior. Moshe was not disturbed by Hashem. Moshe went to Shemayim. Moshe asked Hashem, Hareinos Kvoidecha. Hashem, it's not fair. It's not fair. Sadik viraloi, Rasha v'toivloi. Isn't that the question everyone is bothered with? Isn't this the question of why we're here in this world? Sadik viraloi, Rasha v'toivloi. What's going on? This was the question Moshe asked Hashem. And Hashem said, there is no answer. V'ro'isa es achorai uponai lo yeirohu. There is no answer to this question. I'm not telling you. You're not going to understand the answer. Quiet. This is the question. What is the Torah? The Torah is divine wisdom. What is the center two words of the Torah? Doroish Dorash. That's what it says in the Chumash here. Even though we know in our calculation it's not, but Chazal make it very clear that in their eyes, the two words which are the center of the Torah are these two words, Doroish Dorash, Moish, Doroish Dorash. The center of something captures its essence, its nature, its personality, its identity in its purest, unfiltered form. There are different parts to everything. Things are real, not real, but the pnimis is the center. Doroish, dorash are two words which capture the essence of kol ha-Torah kula. What would you expect the pnimis of Torah to express? What kind of idea, what kind of spiritual concept would you expect it to capture? You would expect it to capture something relating to Hashem. The Torah, what is the Torah? The Torah is divine wisdom. The Torah was created before Hashem created the world. The Torah is something purely spiritual. You would expect these two words to represent a difficult Zohar, some very esoteric secret about HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have no connection to understand. And yet, it is shocking that the two words which capture the Pnimis of Torah is the study of the human condition. Moshe Rabbeinu, the smartest man that ever existed, even greater than Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech said, I don't come to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu knew it all. I don't know it all. The smartest man who had everything, he here is perplexed. He's a psychologist. Okay? He's coming here to study the human condition. They see, Doroish Darash, why did you, my brother Aaron, and your two children, did you behave in this manner in this situation, but behave differently in this situation? It has nothing to do with Ribbono Shel Olam, nothing to do with Halacha, your behavior. I don't know what's going on here. I don't understand your behavior. You ate this and you did not eat this. Why? Why did you behave in such a fashion? This is the pnimius of the Torah. Hashem created the Torah and He gave it to us. There are people who feel Torah is not for me. It's not for me. Torah, Tayag, Mitzvah is not for me because what connection do I have with divine wisdom? Something which came out of Shemayim, was created 2,000 years before this world existed, whatever that means. All these, it's too esoteric. It's too intangible. The penimis of the Torah is, it's all about you. Doroish Darash Moshe, who would not want to have an instruction manual to understand how we work? Isn't that what it's all about? You purchase an object. The first thing you want to know when you make an acquisition is, how does this device work? I got to know how it works. You have to know which button to press and what to do to get the most out of my acquisition. I've spent good, hard-earned money to take possession of this object. I need to know an instruction manual how it works. Doesn't a person want to know how they work? Don't they want to know how they operate? What makes them tick? What makes them happy? What makes them sad? What makes them successful? What makes them fail? Well, the Torah is the manual to yourself. It's not divine. Of course, it's divine. But if the penimius of the Torah are these two words, Doroish Darash, which is simply means Moshe Rabbeinu is watching human beings behave, and he says, I don't understand. What are you doing? Why are you doing this and not doing this? And here you did the opposite. He's trying to understand the behavior of human beings. That is the pnimius, and that is a revelation of what the entire Torah, in essence, is all about. It's to our benefit. Through Taryag Mitzvahs, through the study of the Torah, not only do you gain insight into HaKadosh Baruch Hu and esoteric things, it is so practical. Every word of Torah will give you new insight into yourself to understand what makes you operate, what makes you function. Similar fashion, let's go to the next middle of the Torah. What's the next middle of the Torah, the next letter in this week's parasha? The word Doroish Darash is the middle of the Torah in words. What is the middle letter of the Torah? It's in this week's parasha, the Shiratzim, the non-kosher Shiratzim, V'chol Hoylech Al Gochoin, the Vav De Gochoin. Okay, so this is referring to anything which goes on its belly, any creepy crawler, which goes on its belly, which specifically refers to the Nachash, is Tomei, and is forbidden to consume. Now, isn't it interesting that the Vav De Gochoin is not even part of the Shoresh of the word? It's a vowel. So isn't it shocking? You would think that if the penimis, the center of something, as we just finished trying expressing, represents its purest essence, the Torah, in its purest essence, in the letters, going down to, on a microscopic level, comes down to one letter. So you would expect, oh, which letter is it going to be? All of the 22 letters of the alphabet are lining up, right? They're lining up. I want to be the penimis. We have midrashim that tell us that when Hashem began to write the Torah, every single letter lined up and said, I volunteer to be the first letter of the Torah. And there's a medrash that has a conversation. Hashem has a conversation. Every single letter, Aleph. You can't be the first letter. Why not? I don't remember why. It goes to every single letter. Hashem selected the bays for whatever reason. The long, long medrash. So now, certainly when it comes to the middle of the Torah, that also has a lot of, in fact, maybe it's even more significant. It's the penimius. It's the essence. And guess which letter was selected? The letter Vav. But it's not even a real Vav. It's a substitute Vav. It's a Vav which is only there to hold up a dot. It's only there to hold up a teeny mashu. It's an invisible letter. It's really an invisible letter. It's a vowel. It's funny. We have a halacha. We have a sefer Torah that's missing a Vav. A Vav or a Yud. That's not essential. It's a vowel. So is a sefer Torah, do you take out a new sefer Torah? No. A mole v'chosa, because we're not really experts today in which letter Vav has to be there, which letter doesn't have to be there. Because some the Vavs are just, they're sometimes just vowels. They're put there by mistake to tell you how to read the word, but it's not really part of the root. How could it be, from all of the letters of the Torah, it is a Vav, which is not even there for its own purpose? It's only there to tell you how to pronounce the word, which really means it's an invisible letter, becomes the middle of the Torah. How could that be? Let's go further to answer this question with another idea. It's not exactly the most pleasant thing to be the middle of the Torah. The Gochoin, kol hoylech al Gochoin tamehu lachem, we're describing a snake that slithers along the ground, poisonous snake. It goes on its belly. What does Chazal tell us? When Hashem created the Nachash was man's best servant. The Nachash had legs, had raglayim, beautiful legs, and walked vertical, and it was man's servant. And the curse that Hashem put upon the Nachash after the Chet Eitz Hadas is al gechoincha teilech. Because you abuse your powers, you are cursed, and no longer will you stand erect. I'm taking off your legs. You're now going to sliver on the ground. This middle of the Torah is coming to remind us the Chet Eitz Hadas, the Chet of the first sin which brought all of the problems into this world. Now here's the point I want to make. The Vav, when the Nachash said to Chava, what's the big deal? Eat. What's the big deal? Eat from the Eitz Hadas. You're confusing me. What's the big deal? Eat from the Eitz Hadas. Did Chava see in front of her at that moment in time the consequences of what's going to happen from eating from the Eitz Hadas? Of course not. Every time a person has an assignment in life, should I do an Avera? Should I not do an Avera? Should I do a mitzvah? Should I not do a mitzvah? Do you see in front of you at that moment in time the consequences? No, because if you really saw the consequences, if you really believed in the consequences of what damage you're doing to your neshama, what damage you're doing to your life, when you do an Avera, you would never do it. No one puts their hand in a fire. Because the consequences are instant. But yet a person will do an Avera, and Chazal say, you do this Avera, you're toast, you're finished. You're going to be cut off from the next world. You're going to suffer great harm. People do it, no problem. Why do they do it? They don't believe it. Seeing is believing. I don't see it, I don't believe it, I don't care. I don't believe it's going to happen, it's not in front of me. That was the Shoresh of the Chet Eitz Hadas. And what was the consequence? the most tangible, immediate consequence of the Chedei Tzedas was the Nachash, its legs were cut off, and now it slivers on the ground as a poisonous snake. That was the consequence. What is the pnimius of the Torah? Torah is an instruction manual. It promises reward and punishment for those who observe and disobey the Torah. But the reward and punishment is not now. It's not now. The Paris in Olam Hazeh, the Akeren Kayemis Lo Olam Haba. The pnimius of the Torah is an invisible element of the consequence of chait. Gochoin, the nochash, the middle of the Torah is the nochash. The gochoin, the consequence of sin. The nochash is on the ground, maneuvering its belly on the ground as a consequence of chait. Did the nochash see it coming? No. It didn't believe. It didn't believe, or it let its taiva get in the way. Because it wasn't the goloi, it was invisible. It was the vav of the gochoi. There was a curse. The nochash had to know subconsciously that by eating from the Eitz Hadas, I will be cursed, I will be punished. He knew there would be the gochoin, al gochoin chateilich. It has to be, he knew about the consequences. But the problem is, al gochoin cha, there is an invisible vav. It's not invisible, we put the vav there. But that vav technically can be dismissed. Even though we spell gochoin with a vav, if there was no vav in gochoin, you would pronounce it the same way. So as far as we're concerned, that vav is really invisible. It's just there as a placeholder, hold up that dot as a vowel. It's because the nochash, he knew there would be the consequence of al gechoin chateilech, but I don't see it in front of me. It's like the vav, there's the gochoin and there's the vav de gochoin. The vav de gochoin is really invisible. You don't need it. Because you didn't see the consequence in front of him. It was invisible. That's why he was nichshol. He sinned. He stumbled. He sinned. He gave Chava to eat. And indeed he suffered the consequences. This is the pnimius of the Torah. This is the center, the purest element to remember about the Torah is all about. The Torah presents you, Re'ei nosati lefanech es hachayim v'es hamoves. Uvacharta b'chayim. See in front of you. If you don't select the good, you're going to be the gechoincha. You're going to suffer the same consequence as the nochash. Al gechoincha teilech. There'll be a curse. The legs will be removed. You'll suffer the consequences just like the nochash. What is fooling you? What is holding you back from not performing the way you should? It's because you just don't see it in front of you. It's invisible. You have to have emunah. It's not just the gechoincha, it's the vav de gechoin. The vav de gechoin is a letter that you really don't need. It's an invisible letter. We put it there to make it, we make it visible. But the truth is the vav is an invisible letter. It's the invisibility of the promise of reward and suffering, which is the pnimius of the Torah. The Torah says there's reward and punishment, but it's invisible. I can't prove it. I can't touch it. I can't show it. I have to have emunah that is going to be reward and punishment. That is all captured in the concept of vav de gochoin. The gochoin represents reward and punishment. The vav represents it's invisible. You can't prove it. You can't see it. You can't touch it. You have to have emunah that there is schar v'oinish. The gochoin is the schar v'oinish. The vav is truly an invisible letter. Therefore, the invisibility, that's the essence of the Torah. A few minutes, another vart. The simple vart, but it's a profound vart. In the beginning of this parasha, when we begin to inaugurate the Mishkan, we finally, for the very, very first time, put into practice all of the korbanos in the Mishkan the way they were required. One of the korbanos offered was the Karam Mincha. And the way the Torah describes the bringing the Korban Mincha is unique. We've already gone through two very difficult parashos, Vayikra and Tzav, where there are numerous instructions on how to bring a Korban Mincha. And every time we discuss a Korban Mincha, there's a mention of take a kamitza. The komatz yodai. The Kohen slices his hand into the bowl, and he takes a fistful. How much do you think he picks up in that fistful? You know how little he takes at the end of the day? You have a big bowl. You learn Masech the Menachos, you slice your hand into the bowl, and when your hand is in the flour, what do? How many fingers do you bend?
Three
fingers. You close it as tight as you can. How much can you possibly get after you close your fingers as tight as they can? Not a lot. Then come up. Oh, there's a little heap. A little heap maybe on the top, right? Maybe something got stuck because it's oil. There's some oil or water. No. We don't want that. No. Take your thumb, get rid of it. Take your pinky, get rid of it. So the end of the day, how much do you got already in your three fingers? You have a big bowl. You got 60 sa'ah flour, massive bowl. And you slice, you put your hand in, and you take out, you wipe. You got a mashu shebe mashu. And you take this teeny little mashu, you put it in another pan, and you go up to the mizbeach, and you put it on the fire, and you burn it. The komatz yodai, right? No problem. That's what the Torah says to do. This week's parasha is the first time it's actually done. Actually done. Now, did they bring a mincha on Har Sinai? I don't know. Maybe not. I don't think it doesn't say about a mincha. When was the first mincha that was offered? I don't know. But certainly here is the first significant one because this is all part of the avoda of the inauguration of the Mishkan. So how does Aaron bring the mincha? It says he goes forward and Yes, Vayirchatz, Vayikrav, Vayakrev, Vayakrev, and Sheni, here it is, the first mincha. Vayakrev, Es HaMincha, Gesundheit. Vayimalei Chapo Mimena. He fills up his hand. That's called filling up your hand? You've done everything possible not to fill up your hand. You didn't. Filling up my hand would mean I would take two hands, go like this, like the Keteres, right? The Keteres. When you want to fill up your hands, we know how to fill up our hands. You slice your hands on an angle, you go like this, you come up, heaping measure, put your thumb out to catch it like the printer, pull out all the different extensions to make sure the paper doesn't fly away, right? That's called Vayimala Yada. You want to use one hand? Okay, we'll help you heap one handful. This is called Yemala Yado. You put your hand in like this, you took three fingers, you bent it over to take a teeny mashu, you wiped off the excess. That's called Yemala Yado. The end is exactly the point. That is called your effort. That's the biggest satisfaction possible. If you have big open hands without effort of closing the hand, when you close your hand, what are you essence doing? You're working. Closing your fingers represents, I'm not taking handouts. I'm not entitled to this. I have to work for this. When you close your hand, what do you do when you close it? I'm acquiring. I'm going out to work. I'm going out to earn my keep. I'm going to earn my right to live in this world by doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm not, if I want my hands to be full, I don't close my hand. I keep it open. I keep it open and we heap large measure. That's Vayimali Kapo. That's not called filling up your hands. You're called a taker. You're called a dependent. You're a depressed, unhappy person when you open up your hand and someone just puts a heaping measure. The real milu yodav, the real satisfaction, is to close your hands and just take what you earn. To close those three fingers and to take away what I'm not entitled to, on top and the bottom, and walk away with a small amount that I earned. It's symbolic of what I've earned and what I'm entitled. That is the ultimate vayimale eskapai. Okay, let's just run over, maybe we have 2 more minutes. One quick last vart. One more quick vart, very, very short vart. Okay? Fish. Rashi says, fish don't have names. We have in this week's parasha all the different animals. We have all the birds, we list off all of the non-kosher birds. When it comes to the animals, we have names of animals, but fish, there's only one thing you gotta know. Snapir v'kaskeses. Fins and scales, yeah, fins and scales, you're good to go. Even if Rashi says the chiddush, even if there are no fins and scales above the water, if they take off their fins and scales when they leave the water, it's also good. You don't have to know the name of the fish. There are no names to fish. Why not? Because you don't see them. They're covered. Is it Rashi or the Baal HaTurim? Maybe it's the Baal HaTurim who says, The Baal HaTurim says this. There is no names for fish because since fish are in the water, they're concealed. There's no ayin hara on fish because you can't see the fish. They're in the water. The water also serves as a shield from, it's not clear water. There are other things in the water which prevent you from seeing it. Now, if you don't see it, you don't need to know its name. A name, what is a name? It's all in a name. You know someone's name, you know everything about them. Right? Once you got a person's social security number, okay, you go online, you're done. You know everything this person ever did their whole life. A name captures the essence. If you don't know their name, you know nothing about them. Fish, Chazashi says, we know nothing about fish because they're covered. Now we can appreciate back in Parshas, Vayishlach, when Yaakov Avinu fights with the Malach, he wrestles with the Malach, and he says at the end of the wrestling match, Shalcheini, Vayoyme Loya Shalecha, Kim Berachtani, and then he says to him, what is your name? I forgot the pasuk by heart. What is your name? And the Malach's Lama said, Tishalishmi. Vahupeli, it's concealed, it's hidden. We have the same thing we have this other places as well. You don't have to know my name. Why not? The answer is, it's really what the right. Do you see Malachim? We don't see Malachim. Malachim are Hashem's messengers. They're not meant for us to see. If we do not see the Malachim, we do not need to know their name, and by extension, their essence, who they are.
But they do have names, some of them do.
They do have names among themselves. Michoel, Gavriel, Rafol, Uriel, Gemara, Rashi Tevis, Gavriel, Rafol, everyone. But it's not for us, that's amongst themselves. Something that you do not see is none of your business. That's really the message. The message over here is, this Baal HaTurim is, we live in a world. We have such a Yetzirah to know what's going on in someone else's life. Tell me, does that person advertise what's going on? It's covered. He's living in a fishbowl. If a person is living in a fishbowl, it's only a business. And just like Hashem did not tell us the name of fish because we don't see the fish. Just like we do not see the Malachim, the Malach gives Musar to Yaakov. It's none of your business what my name is. You don't see Malachim every day. Today you got lucky, you saw a Malach. But you're not going to see me tomorrow. You're not going to see Malachim. Something that you don't see, you don't need to know their name. A name is just a code word to know all the gossip. There's no need to know, because what is a name? A name is everything. A name is, it's your identity, who you are. It's a very powerful Musar. The Torah went out of its way to tell us, fish, I'm not telling you their names because you don't see them. Take Musar from that lesson. Things that are covered from you, it's none of your business to go and pry into people's personal lives to discover their identity, to discover what's going on by them. If you don't see it, it's not meant for you. It's not important for you. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos. Amen.
This bar is actually for after Pesach, of the Shmini, that comes out after Pesach. I've already said over a few comments, the Shema of the Gerer, come into Pesach, but it's Seder, and you say, well, this year, we have all these kafonas and choices, but we really, it comes to the Seder. You're tired, you're falling asleep, you're this, that.
Shabbos, how are
you? The stone go by.
Shabbos,
thank you. The stone go by. Shabbos. And you realize, that my kavanah is the so it's another than a vineyard. They have the biggest kavanahs in the world, the best kavanahs in the world. What happened? At Siva, there's some
Shabbos, good Shabbos.
What Siva and some Hashem. Hashem didn't tell me that they got killed. We did the mitzvah because Hashem told us to do
it.
Even though we didn't have the kavanas and everything. But we did the mitzvah. We did the mitzvah because Hashem told us to do the mitzvah. Biggest reward.
That's all you need to do, nothing more than that. You did it by shofar also, by shofar. Why do you blow shofar? Don't have any kavanas. You blow a shofar, no kavanas. It's very nice to learn all the nyanim, but when a halacha lemaiz, when it comes time to do the mitzvah, don't have any kavanas. The kavanas are good in learning about it, but not lemaiz. Yeah.
He said
very good. So he said, "Good Shabbos, good Shabbos."
Yeah, we'll be a very good one for Donnie and Mark is also
coming here.
Yeah, they're going also.
Okay, very good. Very good. I'm sure.
Hope he's well enough to see how he's doing.
Might be well. Wish well. This is the famous one. This is Achre Shana, Eini Hashem Lechabam Mereishis Shana, Mereishis Hashana. At Achris Shana, it says the pasuk, "Hey, idea to be, Eine Hashem Elokecha Ba, Mereishis Hashana, at Achris Shana." Why is there a "Hey, idea" in the beginning of the pasuk, and there is no "Hey, idea" at the end of the pasuk? The answer is, when the new year starts, you always say to yourself, "This year is going to be the year, Hashana." And by the time the year is over, what did I accomplish? Say to us, I'm coming to this El Gros Kavanis, and everyone say, same thing, it's going to be the Seder. Baruch Hashem, I'm past that point in my life. And I know. I know it's not going to be anything special.
That's very encouragement that you did it. Since you did it because Hashem
did it. You did it with Shem Shemayim. That's all you need to do, Avada.